Welcome. We're glad you've chosen to listen to this message from what God is doing at Kingdom Faith Southwest. We pray you will receive the faith you need through hearing God's word.
And I just want to put three really important facts on the screen behind me here for you to see. And this is what Easter is about. Quite simply, Easter is about the death of Jesus on the cross, his burial in a tomb, and his resurrection 3 days later. They're the facts, and I'm just going to talk us through a little bit about why that happened. Unpack the Easter message for us, because like anything else, if you understand why, it has more meaning, doesn't it? And actually, knowing why this happened will not only change your perspective, but if you believe it, it has the power to change your life. And there are so many people in this room who will say to you, because I believe this, my life has completely turned around for the better. Okay, so I'm going to take a bit of time this morning just to explain why we all need Jesus. And I'd like you to turn to the person beside you and say, I'm going to stay open-minded this morning. I'm sure you'll agree with me when I say this. We live in quite a broken, fragmented world. You only have to look around you and watch the news to see that people are struggling. Actually, everyone has problems one way or another. People are plagued by things. They're plagued by anxieties, phobias, insecurities, anger, disappointment, so many things that hinder life and actually rob life. And so they throw themselves into all sorts of things to try and pick themselves up, really, and make themselves feel better. People throw themselves into work. They throw themselves into new relationships. They throw themselves into hobbies, sport, music, charity work, fundraising, shopping, socializing, social networking. How many of you here are on Facebook? Just raise your hand. Quite a few. I got some information off the internet, which I found quite surprising. I thought it was going to be pretty huge, but did you know? Have a look at this. As of 2001, there were As of 2011, there were 500 million Facebook users. That's approximately one in every 13 people on Earth. And half of them are logged in on any given day. Think about that. On any given day, 250 million people are on Facebook talking to their friends. I think that's pretty amazing. And I actually think it's pretty revealing about who we are and how we are as human beings. We like to interact, don't we? As human beings, actually, we want relationship. We want to share the highs and the lows with people. And actually, we are designed to be in relationship with other people. But fundamentally, there is one relationship that is the most important of all. And that is our relationship with God, your relationship with God. You and I are actually designed to be in an ongoing relationship with God, okay? And I want to put it to you like this morning. I don't know if you've ever thought of it this way, but I want to put it to you. I fully am convinced of this, that without God, we are dysfunctional. Without God, we don't behave or work as we should. We have hang-ups and insecurities. We make bad decisions and selfish choices. We do things and say things that we regret. And yet, you know, we end up doing them again. Why is that? We try and change. We try and manage ourselves differently. We try and manage our lives and our circumstances differently. But it doesn't take too long before we trip up and do those same things again. Can anyone identify with what I'm talking about? Yes, okay, I'm glad you can. That is kind of how we are as human beings. We have good intentions and good motives, but unfortunately, we seem to often make the same mistakes. And so people try all sorts of things to make themselves better. I was thinking about some of the reality TV shows that are on quite often on TV. Escape to the Country, Place in the Sun, 10 years younger. Have you ever seen that one? And, I was just thinking to myself, people go to extraordinary lengths to try and help themselves feel better. They think by getting a new body or a new style, a new wardrobe, having a makeover, a new house, or even a new country to live in, somehow they can solve their problems. But isn't it true that changing the inside won't change the outside? You can emigrate to Australia, and apparently 1.3 million Brits have, but you're only going to live with yourself when you get there. You might have some new friends with a different accent, but you will be the same. And people spend a lot of money relocating to find that actually the problems have followed them because they themselves are the same. And therefore, I want to put it to you, we need a rescuer. Every one of us needs a rescuer. We need a savior who can change us from the inside out and genuinely give us a new start. And his name, you won't be surprised when I say this, is Jesus. Now, you might think you know about Jesus. You may have watched songs of praise. You may have learned about Jesus in school. But Jesus isn't a religion. He isn't. You can't say this, you know, this is Jesus, and you can sew him up and put him in a box. He isn't a religion. He is a person. And it's having a relationship with him that changes your life for the better. Now, I want to share some personal testimony with you this morning that's very current. I kind of questioned whether to share this, but I want to share this to show you how in my life having a relationship with Jesus has made all the difference in the world just this last week. David, my husband over here, just give a wave. He wasn't expecting that. he's looking pretty well now, but he's actually been really ill for 4 months, since before Christmas, the 19th of December. And he's had pneumonia, which in itself is pretty serious. He's had a really terrible cough. He's completely lost his voice several times. But 2 weeks ago, we had a phone call to say that a blood test that he'd had done at the hospital had shown up positive for a rare respiratory disease that attacks the lungs aggressively. Without treatment, it is fatal. And when you get news like that, you feel like you've been winded. I sat on my stairs and cried. And because your emotions react, you panic, and you fear the worst. But we know Jesus is a rescuer. I have that as a conviction in my heart, that Jesus is a rescuer, and he can and will deliver us from this diagnosis. And so we got with God, and we prayed, and our friends prayed, and our family prayed. We as a church here have all prayed. And Monday, just this last Monday, he went into hospital and for tests. And the doctors were just confused about how well he looked and the fact that he wasn't coughing up blood anymore, because this is one of the symptoms that he's had, that he wasn't, not as regularly anyway. They were expecting it to be quite a regular thing. And actually, he hadn't coughed up blood for probably a week or so. On Wednesday, he was due to have a lung biopsy, and to cut a long story short, they decided he wouldn't need it. They took an x-ray, and Lowe's, I mean, he was just, I want to say like a lab rat, not like a lab rat at all, but my gosh, he went through so many, he had to be in a wheelchair, they told him. He was perfectly fine to walk, but whether it's health and safety, I don't know, but he was being pushed here to, you know, here, there and everywhere, around Musgrave, going for these different tests. And they're trying, because it's their job, they're trying to get to the bottom of why he's been so ill. But so far, the comments we're getting back are confused. And the doctors are being quite positive. We haven't had the official results back yet. We'll get them next week. But we know and believe a promise from Psalm 91 that with long life, he will satisfy him and show him. God will show him his salvation. Amen. Now, the reason I'm telling you this is because trials of life come, you know. I'm sure every one of us in this room have been through at least one major trial in life. And they happen, and, you know, they're storms, but yet right in the middle of that storm, we can testify to experiencing supernatural peace. You can't explain it any other way. It goes beyond what you would expect in these circumstances. And there's a scripture that actually says, he himself, Jesus, he is our peace. He's a peace that really has sort of stayed with us all the way through. You know, you kind of were sitting on this ward for a few days and you're looking at the people around you. I felt such huge compassion for these people. They're hooked up to oxygen tanks and really suffering, really struggling to breathe. You could hear people crying, and it's quite a traumatic experience to go through. And yet, you know, all these sights and sounds naturally would make you feel anxious. We know God is with us. You know, as you may know Psalm 23, because you are with me, I will fear no evil. We knew God was with us. And so in this, you know, God would deliver us. He would deliver David from this sickness. And his peace really has been acting like a guard on our hearts and our minds. And I want to say to you this morning, Jesus genuinely makes the difference. Whatever you go through in life, if you ask him, he will give you his help. He'll give you wisdom and guidance, supernatural peace, like I've spoken about, strength and the ability to really face challenges and overcome in a surprising way, you know, inexplainable, really. He does change your life for the better. But something else I want to say that's even more important, actually, and that is he will change your eternity. When you face a health scare, as we are doing currently, you realize the body's quite fragile. You know, our human bodies, we think, certainly when you're younger, you kind of think you're invincible. You know, you feel strong and healthy. But occasionally sickness comes and you realize, actually, my body, it's not going to go on forever. And there will be a point when we all die. What then? You know? Most people like to think they'll go to heaven when they die. I'm sure if we took a poll, went down into Taunton there, we wouldn't find many people out today. But if you were to take a poll, I'm sure you'll find the majority of people would say, yes, I believe I'll go to heaven when I die. Why do they believe that? Essentially, they believe that because they lead a good life and they've done some good stuff. You know, they've done some good works. There's a way to be right with God and certain about your eternity. It isn't a mystery. It's actually revealed in the Bible. Most people do think it's about how they live, what they do in this life. But Jesus said, it's in the Bible in black and white. I've put it up on the screen because I didn't know if you'd all have a Bible this morning. But it says in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So the way isn't what we do. The way is a person. The way is Jesus. The way to heaven isn't your self-effort. The way is Jesus. And in another scripture, Jesus actually calls himself the door. He says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. People think there's lots of doors to God. And I want to tell you from the Bible that there aren't. You know, people, I think, are pushing a lot of doors to try and find some self-worth and meaning to their lives. But actually, there is one and one only, and his name is Jesus. He's the only way to God. It's not about our self-effort. The Bible says all have sinned and all have fallen short of the glory of God. In other words, our own efforts let us down. I'm sure if we're honest this morning, we'll all admit we've got a long list of failure behind us. And things we've thought wrong, things we've said wrong, things we've done wrong that have hurt ourselves and hurt other people. We don't always mean to, but somehow we end up doing what we don't want to do. And I've said it before and I'll say it again, we need a rescuer. Yes. You need a rescuer. Proud people find that hard to admit. But if you're humble, you'll receive God's grace. There's a scripture that says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. He gives his ability to humble people. I love that scripture because I know I need God's grace. You know, I'm not embarrassed to admit I need God's grace every day. And remember, the way to God is through Jesus. He's the door. And we can't be in relationship with God without Jesus. I want to explain something really important. It's not going to take too much longer, but this bit's really crucial. I want you to get this morning. Firstly, God is holy. Our sin makes us unholy and separates us from God. If you think of a positive and negative magnet, you can't put them together, can you? There's kind of a force that pushes them apart. And our sin pushes us apart from God. So as an unbeliever, as a non-Christian, even if you wanted a relationship with God, there's stuff, you know, you've done and said, all of us in this room have done and said, that pushes us apart from God. And actually, sin is serious in God's eyes. Sin destroys individuals, it destroys families, and it destroys whole communities. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, or the payment for sin is death. And God is holy, okay? Just stick with me, I'm going to sort of talk you through this. He's also a God of justice. He can't sweep our sin under some huge imaginary carpet and pretend it isn't there. It has to be accounted for, has to be paid for. But God is not just holy. God is love. Thank God. He's loving towards us. He doesn't actually want any one of us in this room to pay the price for our own sin, because that would mean an eternity separate from him. Hell, in other words. So he sent Jesus to pay the ultimate penalty, to pay with his life the price for our sin. And there's an amazing scripture that I'm sure most of you in this room will know. But it says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." So the reason Jesus died on the cross is to pay the death penalty for your sin and for my sin. And whoever puts their faith in him, accept him as Lord and Savior, will be saved. They'll experience the saving power of God in this life and the next. And I suppose really all I want to say to you this morning is that God is real. I know God is real. So many times in my life I've absolutely experienced the reality of God and the presence of God. And if you will give him the opportunity, he will prove himself real to you. Sometimes it takes a crisis for us to reach the end of ourselves and cry out to him. But no matter what and no matter where, if you cry out to God, he will reach you where you're at, and he will rescue you. There's a scripture that says the Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. And when you cry out to God with a sincere heart, he draws near to you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you in ways that you will be able to, not kind of mystical ways, but in ways you will genuinely be able to identify and experience peace in your heart, peace in your mind, changes in your circumstances, identifiable things that will let you know there is a being higher and greater than me who, when I invite him in, makes my life so much better.
This completes the message. Thank you for listening. If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186 or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.